You know how we're sort of running out of antibiotics and we've sort of used a lot of things up and they don't work anymore. Time to go back to the old ways. There's a century-old antiseptic that could help with infection. Dr. Michael Gantier is with the Nucleic Acids and Innate Immunity Group at the Hudson Institute. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ray.
What's the new miracle cure?
Well, basically, it's all about reusing that old drug, as you just said. And we think that we've just discovered a sort of new mode of action for that drug, which actually would not only kill bacteria, which is what it does anyway, but we think that it's able to activate the immune system of the patient. So you get a sort of double effect. And the good thing about that is if you get a resistant bacteria, then you still have the effect of the immune system against the bug.
So this encourages the immune system and acts against the bug.
Exactly.
Terrific. What is it? And where can I get some?
Well, actually, it's used. Some people use it in their fish tanks. You wouldn't believe it, but it's used for a lot of things, and it has not been used so much in the past 50 years, mostly because of the advent of penicillin and the likes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that is very easy to make, I guess. It's very cheap, and it's still used in poorer countries. I think I found in Indonesia they're still using that.
What is it? Put me out of my misery.
It's called acriflavin.
I've never seen that on a label.
No, you wouldn't. We actually found that it was in the medical kits of the soldiers when they were going to the World War II.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the little things they had with them. It was used quite a lot during World War II as well as early on in World War I.
Well, what did they call it?
They had two names for it. So the people that found it called it triperflavin, and then it was called acriflavin. So basically something flavin was also the name it was called.
Did it have a brand name or a simpler description?
Not really, not that I'm aware of anyway.
Coal tar, perhaps?
So coal tar is where it's coming from originally.
Okay.
And then it was derived from that. So it's not directly from coal tar, it's a derivative from something from coal tar, if you follow me.
So if you used coal tar soap, have you ever come across coal tar soap, by the way?
Never did, but I'm sure you can.
If I'd washed myself with it here in the studio,
yes.
You would be able to smell it from wherever you are. It's very pungent. It's very. It feels like it would do a good job. But this is related to coal tar, yeah?
Yes, it's related to that, yes.
You derive this flavin from the coal tar.
Exactly, you're entirely right.
Mm. What's it good for? Is it dangerous in any way?
So I guess that's one of the issues with this type of medication is that because we didn't really understand how it works, and people knew that it binds DNA in the bacteria, and that's how it probably stops them from proliferating. So people have assumed that it probably was a bit dangerous to use in humans because you would potentially have DNA damage, and that potentially will trigger cancer type things down the line. So what we're actually saying is it's not as simple as that. It's not black and white, and there is potentially some good into binding DNA of the patient, as long as you don't use it for too long, I guess, because it gives you this sort of pre-activation of the immune system, which means that if you encounter a virus or bacteria, then you can be better protected.
You sure I can't just use coal tar soap? Easy. It's much easier to get.
It's much easier. But you can try, by all means.
Yeah.
I think, whatever helps is good.
All right. Good to know that we are finding new things to address the current problem of using up the medicines we have. And keep going. And thank you for your time. Dr. Michael Gantier, Nucleic Acids and Immunity Group. That's what he's from, at the Hudson Institute. I wonder if that's like the Ponds Institute. It's 7:30, time for a